On the Record with Gavin Riley on News Talk.
Now, as you've been hearing in the news and in the last hour of the show, this was the week in which the government published a long-awaited plan, and maybe in some senses a long overdue plan, to try and address the country's chronic shortage of places to live. It's the Housing for All plan, which aims to try and deliver hundreds of thousands of homes before the end of this decade in a bid to ensure that homelessness would be completely eliminated by 2030. We're joined on the line by John Moran, who not only is a former Secretary General at the Department of Finance, but also the former Chairman of the Land Development Agency. John, thank you very much for taking our call this lunchtime. It's a very ambitious plan. It's got a lot of money thrown behind it, but you have some major concerns around what's in it.
Hi, Gavin, and thank you for the opportunity to chat this through. I guess you're absolutely right. I mean, the government have come out with a very ambitious plan, and given where construction deliveries are at the moment, to be saying that you're going to deliver 33,000 homes a year and move from sort of where we are to there is actually a big step up and therefore ambitious. And it's not surprising that they're trying all sorts of different, you know, types of measures to try and get that up to it. But I suppose the piece that I was most disappointed with or surprised with in the last couple of days is that what seems to have passed by very quickly and sort of been taken for granted is the idea that if we can get 33,000 homes into the sort of the Irish economy or to the Irish people every year for the next 10 years, that the crisis gets solved. I can't figure it out myself because I don't have all the tools that the Department of Housing and everyone else, but what I did see a couple of months back, and again more recently, where people like Ronan Lyons and the economists at the central bank were saying that we might need 50,000 homes a year. And I suppose that to me is the most worrying thing, because I said it this morning in a newspaper article, if it's like trying to vaccinate 40% of the people in the country. If you don't do everybody or try and get everybody, it's just not going to work. And housing is the same. It's really critical if you're going to tame the market that you get ahead of the problem and not be playing catch up all the time. And so what I suppose my biggest concern is really that the plan, which had 160 something pages, gave absolutely no explanation why they picked 33,000 other than to say that they have a new calculator tool in the department that produced that number. So we're left not knowing whether it was the minimum number they think we need, the maximum number, an average number, the most they think they can deliver. And this is really critical. And I was really surprised that nobody was picking up with this at the press conference.
So your problem really is that they've come up with 33,000 as their golden number for the average number that needs to be delivered, and they haven't shown their workings.
Yeah, and it may be right. So I mean, if they're absolutely sure, then why not produce? And I would like them to produce a lot more detail, because I remember back when we had to do the really critical number for the bank recapitalization back in 2011, and some people were saying it was 35 billion and some people were saying 5, and it ended up being 24 billion. We produced literally hundreds of pages of information for everybody to check that they thought we had the right number. And it was absolutely critical for the recovery back in 2011, 12 and 13, that number was right. The very same thing happens here with this housing. I mean, put it simply, if we delivered the best housing plan, delivering 30,000 homes and they all arrived on time, but we need 50,000, then 20,000 sort of people every year don't get a home, and it's not going to be a success. And what happens in a market of housing, if you think about it this way, is that let's just take that 50,000 number, and that's pretty much what the central bank were saying in their report. The government's going to do about a third of that, so they'll provide, you know, 17,000 or 20,000 to the most vulnerable people. The market will produce another chunk of it, so they'll give it effectively to the richest people in the country, and the missing 20,000 of homes every year. This isn't just for 1 year. Cumulatively, that's 200,000 homes over 10 years. They're the people in the middle. I mean, they're the new kids coming out of university. They're the people sleeping in their own childhood bedrooms at the moment, or the new people coming to the island. I mean, they're the ones that are going to lose out. And the difficulty with that is that because you're now got not enough supply, the richer people in society will bid that up, so that actually we're still paying a big premium on Irish housing. And the government, when it tries to help the vulnerable people by buying in those housing or helping charities or helping first-time buyers, is also overpaying for housing.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's kind of the key question. And,
sure.
and so for me, if you think you need 50,000 a year, you should be planning to deliver 60. And you don't always have to build the last 10. But at least everybody knows that there's enough coming down the track. Prices drop, people sell, people rent apartments that are vacant. And the whole thing resolves sure. much more quickly than we think.
So I suppose there's two aspects there. There's the accessibility and the affordability. And we'll come back to the affordability in a minute because I will be keen to get your thoughts on that. I know the Land Development Agency, of which you were previously the chair, wasn't the sole agency responsible for trying to fix the housing problem. But surely you were probably fairly central to the government's plans. And I'd imagine that as the former chair of that, you probably would have had some figures to hand as to what you thought the government actually needed to provide by way of new housing. And if that was the case, why do you think the government's ignored them now?
Yeah, slight leading questions there, Gavin. But I mean, essentially, part of the reason why I kind of, you know, I'm concerned here is that when at the beginning of the Land Development Agency, when we were trying to work out how much cost rental we needed to deliver, we reckoned that, I mean, there were, what, 300,000 people renting in Ireland. And many of those are renting in either too expensively or in ways that they don't really want to have a sustainable home going forward. So for us, the need in cost rental may have been as much as certainly over 100,000, you know, homes, or people will be buying those homes, whichever. So it really seems from the analysis that we did, and of course, a bit like me, we don't have a massive team of people like the central bank or whatever. But since they're coming down in somewhat the same place, it just is concerning. And as I said at the beginning, the department may be right. It's just that please send us out information so that we can look at this, because it's such a key factor. Because if you have an undersupply going into a market that already is undersupplied, prices will not come down. And in order to get affordability in Ireland, it's a hard reality for most of us who are homeowners across the country, that the reality is that Irish prices of houses have to go down. And that sort of is going to mean people's assets being worth less, and some of the banks are going to have to be sure about their mortgages and things like that. But if we don't get that done, and the only way to do that is to suggest convincingly to the market that the government, if the market doesn't deliver enough houses, will do it themselves.
Which brings me on to the other point that I was going to make, which is about affordability, because it all seems to be built, the Housing for All plan, on the premise that delivering more houses will ultimately mean that the cost of housing will either stagnate or potentially come down a little bit. And so those who are, you know, renting in places that they can't quite afford, or those who are unable to get a foot on the property ladder to own their own houses, would be able to do so. And I wonder why it's assumed that that would be true, considering that the last time that we had chronic housing provision in the country, you know, there was times in the Celtic Tiger we were delivering close to 100,000 new properties a year, and at that time the price of property continued to go up and up and up. I wonder why we think that reaching that equilibrium would send house prices down again.
Well, there's one really important difference from that period, right, which is that with the mortgage rules of the central bank, and they must stay, I mean, they can tweak them if they want, but as a generic matter, these are really important. They set the maximum amount you can pay for a house at the level of your income, not the value of the house. Mm. Whereas during the crisis, what was happening was banks were lending based on the value of homes. And so, of course, as houses kept going up, they kept lending more money. What you saw, though, if you look a couple of years later, once the crisis hit and our population started going down, actually, all of a sudden, the extra supply of rental income in Dublin meant that rents went down by something like 50%. So it does work. I mean, the trick, however, is that you have to find a way, and I go back to the same point, I mean, you have to find a way to make the market able only to take a fair price. And the only way you will do that is to have enough homes available so that everybody has one. As soon as you lose that dynamic, and we are very much out of equilibrium at the moment, what happens is that the people who have the most money tend to go after the short supply of housing, driving the prices up, because actually they have higher incomes than the average. And so they drive the price of housing up above what the ordinary average person can ever afford, unless there's so many homes that they stop buying or renting. And that's where this number is really critical, because what's happening and what the government has, you know,
volunteered to do, and of course they should do that. They have volunteered to try and help the people who don't have enough money to even rent or buy at sort of what we let's call a fair housing price, whether it's in Germany or in Copenhagen or in France or wherever. The Irish construction costs are much higher than Europe. We did some analysis in the LDA. We saw that happening. There are reasons why that needs to happen, and they can be changed. But it's most important that we get such a supply into the market that if I own a second home today, or I'm holding an apartment and not renting it, that I'm afraid that next year or the year after, the price is going to go down. Because what happens at that magical moment is I decide to sell. And more importantly, the people who are trying to buy might be able to say, we can hold off a little bit now, because actually next year or the year after, prices, because there'll be more houses in the system, will actually go down.
And it becomes a more fluid market that way.
So it comes to a much better place much more quickly. And what we do need to know is if, for example, again, do the analysis, as I said, get the calculator out for, you know, share the information with us. If the equilibrium point requires 50,000 homes a year instead of 33, then the government need to find a way, the same way as they found a way to vaccinate everybody, the government needs to find a way to actually produce that extra housing. If the analysis says that we only need 30,000 homes, then we are on the right path. And then we can analyze the credibility of the plan to deliver 300,000 homes.
Okay.
But if we've got the first part wrong, we are never going to fix this problem.
Well, I suppose that this brings into to another point, which is that there's obviously a lot politically riding on this, and you will have seen the machinations of government politics up close when you were in the Department of Finance. So the government is very loath to promise something that it can't deliver, and maybe at some level there might be an admission that the government needs to deliver 50,000 homes a year, but that it knows that maybe it can't do so, so that it's maybe trying to under-promise and over-deliver rather than the opposite.
Yeah, and that's where this is really delicate, right? So you may remember, I think you're just about old enough to remember, the action plan for jobs, mm-hmm. right? So an action plan for jobs where the government was very worried about its ability to create jobs was created back in the last crisis for 100,000 jobs. And some of us were arguing within the system that that's a definition of failure because we needed 300,000 jobs for the unemployment rates at the time. But there was a real concern to do exactly what you said, which is to overpromise and not be able to meet the targets. But in the case of a job, it's different, because if you can provide 100,000 jobs, you provide them, let's say, at fair value, that's 100,000 people who are now working, and it's good, and it doesn't help the 200,000. That's clear. Mm. So you do really have to be trying behind the scenes, as we were doing, to create more jobs, and in the end, 300,000 jobs were created. In a market like housing, you can't do that. So if the government believe that they need 50,000 homes, and they only think that they can produce 30 in the next couple of years, it's a really important signal that they send to the market to say, we know we need 50,000, but admittedly we can only produce 30, and we are ramping up to 50 or 60 as quickly as we can. Because while that gives them a couple more years to take advantage of the Irish real estate market, they know it's going to finish as quickly as possible, because the government have got that reality right. And what happens, which is, again, another understanding the market, is when somebody's pricing an apartment purchase for an investment, let's say in Dublin in one of the big blocks, they look at what rent they think they can get over the next 20 or 30 or 40 years.
Yeah.
If they think that rents are going to drop in 4 or 5 years' time, the amount they will pay for that property today will go down straight away. And what I looked at on Friday was that the shares in the companies that are buying Irish real estate did not go down after the plan. And that's worrying to me, because that suggests that their analysts think that there's going to be a shortage of houses for the foreseeable future in Ireland. And it means that we haven't done enough. And I think I said at one stage, you know, on another program, that we don't have to build the houses straight away, but by God, we should be buying the land. We should be getting the planning permission, because even though we don't have enough builders and, you know, electricians and plumbers to build them all straight away, we surely have enough architects and people who can drive stuff through the planning process, because we know how long that takes. So that at least once we get our builders and everybody lined up, we can start straight away. It's not then that we're saying, oh, we need another 20,000. Let's start with planning.
Well, the final question then for you, John, before I let you go, and thank you for being so generous with your time this lunchtime. Given your former roles in both the Department of Finance and in the LDA, and the discussions that we know that went on behind the scenes around the level of funding that was going to be put into this, do you think if the will was there that it's actually within the state's gift to commandeer the market and to actually deliver that shortfall? So instead of it being 33,000, that it would be 50,000 a year, and that the state could take a very active role in bridging that gap?
Yeah, there's two things in that. Well, first of all, we don't have a choice, right? So this is, to me, a bit like the pandemic. If we don't get equilibrium in our housing market, we run real risks, both social risks, human risks, and also the economy, because actually wages need to go up and it becomes unproductive, right? So we don't really have a choice in how we have to solve this problem. Once you approach things with the right number for supply, what will happen, as I said, given the apartment example, is prices will drop immediately or very quickly. And it means that the government money that they are currently going to be using to support first-time buyers to build social housing, they will get more value for the same number of euros, simply because of that credibility of their plan. And that doesn't mean they may not need more money, but it does mean that they will actually be able to go further with what they have. The really worrying thing for me is that if they get the numbers wrong, and I kind of tried to explain this earlier, and so I just really want to re-emphasize this point. If they've got the numbers short, the people that are losing out are all people who need that sort of cost rental, affordable housing, and therefore need government support. So in some ways, it's going to have to be a kind of a joint effort by the market and by the people. But the lower houses go, prices, as long as they remain affordable to build, then it means that actually the market can provide an awful lot of houses and people will just pay for them with mortgages like they did before. And we can subsidize that to the extent required based on income, but we kind of move along. The other important thing that I suppose has never been talked about in the last couple of days, just really briefly, is that we also need to disperse the demand. And I've been saying this for a long time. Even if the government figures they want to add another 50,000 homes, then put them in Waterford, put them in Cork, and put them in Galway, and create sort of, you know, vibrant cities there so that the demand shifts. And that brings down the pressure in Dublin as well, making all of the houses affordable in Dublin and cheaper to deliver.
I suppose it's a question of the cost of doing all of these things versus the cost of not doing them. We'll wait and see exactly how all of this comes out.
That's a very good way of putting it.
In the meantime, John Moran, former chair of the Land Development Agency, thank you very much for joining us this lunchtime.
On the Record with Gavin Riley.
On News Talk.